This program is made possible by the friends and partners of Unspeakable Joy.
Psalm chapter 80. If you have a Bible, if you'll notice at the top of that Bible, it says to the chief musician upon Shoshanim. Shoshanim, it literally means the lily. We don't know how that was to be used with a song. I imagine it had something to do with the type of instrument that was played. But I don't know that for certain, but I do know one thing about a lily. A lily only grows in one particular spot. A lily will only function properly when it's in a low, dark place called a what? A valley. David, or Asaph rather, who is the writer of this psalm, David, if we remember, he was the psalmist after God's own heart. Asaph was the psalmist that would write with a broken heart. So Asaph gives us a psalm that was to be sung or read when people got in the valley. There's all types of valleys in life. It doesn't take long for us to figure that out. There's the valley of discouragement. There's the valley of decision. There's the valley of depression. There's the valley of hurt. The valley of brokenness. There's the valley of sin that our nation is so steeped in today. There are all types of valleys, but I want you to notice the song that God desired to be sung in the valley. It's an interesting phrase in verse 3, verse 7, and verse 19 where I'll draw my attention to. In verse number 3, the Bible says, "Turn us again, O God, and cause thy face to shine, and we shall be saved." Verse number 7, notice what the Bible says. "Turn us again, O God of hosts, and cause thy face to shine, and we shall be saved." Verse number 19, "Turn us again, O God." Is that what it says? That's not what it says. It says, "O Lord God, cause thy face to shine, and we shall be saved." The turning's not changed. The shining is not changed. The salvation is not changed. But there's one thing that progresses with each verse. What is that? It's the name of God. I have three things that I'll give us this morning. I say three, I may mean 18, I don't really know. But the first thing I notice is in verse number 3, 7, and 19, it is saying this, "Turn us again." Then it gives the name of God. I'm reminded this morning that you cannot turn yourself. Some of you have been trying and beating your head up against the proverbial wall trying to turn your family members. Some of you beat your ever-loving head up against the wall trying to turn your spouse. Some of you trying to turn your youngins. Some of you try to turn a brother or a sister. Some of you trying to turn a mom or a dad. I tell you, you labor in vain. You do not have the power to turn, because the physical man is turned upon the axis of the neck. I cannot turn a person's neck. I can force a person's neck, but what will ultimately happen if I force too hard? I'll do what? Break their neck. The spirit does not turn upon the axis of a neck. It turns upon the axis of the will. The W-I-L-L. The will of a person is what is down deep on the inside. Why'd you wear what you wore today? Two things. Number one, because the rest of it smelled like a goat. Or number two, because you wanted to. You made a willful choice. Some of you this morning, the reason you are so unhappy is because you tried to eat a keto diet, a clean diet, or some other man-made up diet where you have drunk goat liver and grass. No wonder you are unhappy. But that was your willful decision, choice. Or the rest of us that are going to die young, but we are very happy. We ate something deep fried, greasy, and from the top side of a hog. Amen. Death will soon impose, but we will welcome it with hands clapped, happy as we can be. My point is, we all make decisions of the will. How many of you women would just be downright honest and say, I wish I had power over my husband's will, decisions? You are lying dogs. Lord God, you're lying dogs. How many of you fellas would just grow you a backbone real quick and say, I wish I had the decision-making power to change my wife's will? Ladies and gentlemen, we labor in vain to try to change people. You cannot change people. You cannot turn people. There are people here this morning, and if you've come because you think old Tyler Curtis has got some magical word to help your family or some magical formula in which I can sprinkle it on the situation or circumstance that you have potted in the pot of your soul, I don't have that kind of power. But I do tell you this morning about one that I represent, and one that I've spoke to this morning, and one that has spoken to my heart this morning, and one that has the power to turn. He is the God that can take the rocks and turn them to the left or to the right. He's the God that reaches up to the heaps of the mountain and breaks them down just with the countenance of His presence. I speak of the God that looks at the sea and no more has to but think the word, and the side heaps up on this side and the side heaps up on that side. I tell you about the God that looks at Jordan rivers and they split asunder. I tell you about the God that wills fire down from heaven and licks up the sacrifice on the altar. I tell you about the God that died on Calvary's hill, buried in Joseph's grave, but 3 days later got up victorious over death, hell, and the grave. I tell you about a God that has the power to do what He wants. But watch this. There's a lot of things God will do, but He will not change your will. God will not change your will. We pray in vain when we say, God, make them do and name it. God will never make anybody do. Could He? Sure He could. He's God. He chooses not to. But here's what I'm finding in my little journey along this way. God will never make somebody do something, but guess what He'll do? He'll make them want to do it. Let me give you a personal illustration from the little store post of my soul when I was a 16-year-old boy at the back of the Vandalia Baptist Church, 3 rows from the back. I have been rehearsing this story in my head here lately, and God help that I never get over that good, glad morning when God, the Holy Ghost, arrested my soul. But here's what I found that morning, Dwayne. God did not come put the handcuffs. I don't think I have any police officers in here, but I've got a couple of... Good. This will be an interesting story. Maybe some of you can relate. How many of you police officers have ever had a criminal ever bust out the door that you've been knocking on for 3 hours, come to you and walk backwards and say, I want you to do this to me. I want you to do this to me. You back yourself up and you willingly... No, they don't do that. You know what you have to do. You've got to get your mace. You got to get your baton. You got to get your 9mm. You got to get your stun gun. Got to get your shield, got to get your dog, got to get your mom-in-law, you got to get everything you got, because you have got to pull them against your will. But you realize that God doesn't do that. God has a way that morning. You know what God said? God said, I'm not going to arrest you. I am not. I will not. I shall not, although I could. I will not come forward force you to me, but here's what he did that day at the Vandalia Baptist Church. He showed me my lost condition and showed me in what kind of shape I was before God and before man. Showed me how vile on the inside I had been and how I had violated the law of God. Brothers and sisters, and here's what I ended up doing. I went from saying, God, you'll never chain me to you, to saying, dear God, would you chain me to you? Does anybody remember that day when God took you out of darkness and put you in the marvelous might, light of the gospel of Jesus Christ? That's what God will do. God will take. Now, here's what God's been working. I said all that to say this. God has been working on some of you. You're saying, God, if you just do this, God, if you just do this and get this over with, I'd be okay. I'd be done. I'd be happy. I'd be through. If you would just do it. God doesn't do that, does he? Oh, Lord God. He breaks you down piece by piece, breaks your will down angle by angle, power by power. He pulls you down. And by the time God's done with you, you're laying flat on your face with your hands up to the air and saying, God, have mercy on me, a sinner. Here is what I'm trying to tell moms and dads that have got children out in the world. I'm trying to tell you that have got loved ones and you don't know what's going to happen and you don't know how it's going to happen. Remember this, God is the only one that can change the circumstance and the situation. So this is the way that you pray for that person. No need to preach another message that we won't put into action. Here's then how you start praying for that person. You say, God, I beg you in the name of Jesus Christ to break down that person's will, break down that person's hard heart, shatter that stone wall of opposition, and let them get to the point where they want to do things your way. I'm telling you right now, before God, that's a prayer the Lord will never turn down. You take that person and say, God, take the taste of alcohol out of their mouth. God, take the bitterness out of their soul. God, rip their desire for this thing. Let the alcohol be like poison in their mouth. Let the drugs be a bitterness to their soul. Let them have so much grief over the fact that they keep the grandkids from the house of God on the Lord's day that they just can't do anything. They can't get up out of the bed and they can't go to sleep. God, break down their decision. Make them come to you, because God is the only one that can do it. Notice number two, he says, turn us again. Says three things. Number one, he says, oh God. Then in verse number seven, he says, oh, turn us again, oh God of hosts. Then finally, when he gets to verse number 19, he says, turn us again, oh Lord God. There's three levels of relationship in that word, and they're all represented by the pews that are sitting before me. I like to say the seats that are in the seats. Every one of you fall into three categories. Number one, there's the first category. You're looking at God, and you're looking at Him as the God of creation. That there is a God. You wake up in the morning. You're not an atheist. You're not a God denier. You wouldn't say, no, there's no God. You've got too much intelligence for that. You realize, sure, there had to be somebody that heaped up those mountains and crossed out and traced out those rivers and ripped out those valleys. There had to be a God. He just flung the stars up. There had to be a God. And you go out before that God and you say, if there is a God out there, will you help me? But he doesn't, does he? Because you're on this level. The second level the psalmist takes you to is he says, oh God of hosts. Any time in the Bible when you see that phrase, of hosts, it's referring to the power of God Almighty. You've heard it said, oh Lord of hosts. I like y'all being back here. This blesses me. Oh God of hosts. But watch this. When you see the word God, G-O-D, it's the Hebrew word Elohim. E-L-O-H-I-M, Elohim. It's like just naming a God, naming a deity. So he goes from saying God to God of hosts, God of power. It doesn't take many moons to figure out that the God that created all this is a big God. Lord have mercy. People that are uneducated, don't have a school, never graduated from the fifth grade, they can figure out if you created Mount Everest, you've got to be a big God. It doesn't take long to figure out that God is a wise God. Look at how difficult your spouse is to deal with. And He made them. It doesn't take long for us to realize the power of God. But it's not until he gets to verse 19 that the whole thing turns. He gets to verse 19 and his soul is lifted up. Here's what he says. He says, "Turn us again, O Lord God of hosts." He changes the way he views that God because he hits a head-on personal relationship with that God. You say, what are you talking about? I'm glad you asked. When you see in your Bible, now I just want to make sure your Bible says what my Bible says. Look at what your Bible or what your phone says. Does it not say, Lord, capital L, capital O, capital R, capital D? If that's what yours said, just kind of wave at me so I know you're there. Yeah, that's what the Bible says. Anytime in the Old Testament you see capital L, capital O, capital R, capital D, it is signifying that is the proper name, the personal name of God. It's saying this, Yahweh, Jehovah. I have a lot of titles. I won't tell them some of the titles you call me, but I'll go over here. I have a lot of titles. This is my cousin. To him, I have the title of cousin. This is not West Virginia. You don't have to think about what they could be. They're cousins. This is my wife. Therefore, to her, I have the title of husband. You all are a part of the flock, and I am therefore the pastor. Those are not personal names. They are what? Titles. Descriptions. But whenever I go to sign a contract, I do not sign on that contract on the dotted line and sign cousin. I don't sign husband. And when I go to sign things as a pastor, I don't sign things as. I sign them by my what? My personal name. So then therefore, whenever you see my personal name, you realize something big must be happening. Now watch this. In the Old Testament, when you see the name Lord, L-O-R-D capital, you know that that is the covenant name of God. It is God reminding the people of God that I will hear your prayer, I will answer your prayer, I will be your God because I made a covenant with Abraham. And I'm reminding you because I'm reminding you of my personal name. In the New Testament, though, we see a different way that this is put. We all pray and we say, Lord, help us. We say, God, help us. But we that know the Lord God of heaven, we have a different method into which we get into the throne of God. It is by the personal name of somebody. We have a personal relationship with somebody. We have a name basis relationship with somebody. When I come before God, I don't say, God, I'm here again, and I come in God's name. He says, you can't come in God's name because that's not my personal name, and that's not your advocate. That's not your mediator. You see, there's a lot of names. There's names advocate. There's names mediator. There's names helper. There's names comforter. But those are not the names names whereby I and you march into the throne room of God. It's by the personal name of the second person of the Trinity, and His name is Yeshua, Jesus the Christ, the Son of the living God. Here's what you're reminded of, beloved. In the Old Testament, when it says Yahweh God, Lord God, you know God's going to hear that prayer and God's going to answer that prayer. Do you know why? Because He put His name on the line. And He says, you know I'll answer it because I put my name on the line. You know I'll hear that prayer because I put my name on the line. You go before the throne of God today, beloved, and you pray and you lift up situation after situation and friend after friend and person after person. And the devil says, you'll never hear the answer to that. That's never going to come to pass. That person's never going to be changed. That situation's never going to be turned upside down. That's never going to happen. And we get filled with doubt. And we get filled with discouragement. And we get filled with depression. You know why? Because we have forgotten that God will not fail. Not because He won't fail us, but because He will not fail His only begotten Son. When I go before God, He says, how do you come? I don't say I come because of my good works. I don't say I come because of my ability. I come in the name of Jesus Christ, the Son of the living God. And He says, you've come in that name. Therefore, having this confidence and boldness, therefore, let us come before the throne of grace and find mercy to help us in our time of need. Therefore, when I pray for your loved one, and you pray for your loved one, and you pray for your family, and you pray for that situation, you'll know this. God will hear. God will answer. God will turn it around. You know why? Because He's got His Son's name on the line, and He will not fail His only Son. There's never been a friend like the lowly Jesus. No, not one. No, not one. There's never been anybody that's ever come before the Father and said, Father, I come in the name of Jesus Christ. And the Father said, not good enough. Mm-mm. Oh, no. You don't believe me. Let me give you some examples. That kid of yours screams a lot, so I'm going to leave him in the nursery. Brianna! Come here, baby. Come here. Come here. Be my friend. Come on. That's my girl. Let me tell you a story. Let me tell you a little story. Come on, baby. Come on, baby. I'm going to give you $20. I'm just kidding. Hold my hand. Hold my hand. Bob's going to give you $20, okay? He's good for it. Help me, Scott. Help me. You were a baby, weren't you? Remember how old you were when you were born? No. All right. Ready? Here we go. Hold my hand. Okay. You don't remember this. You were a baby, but you've seen pictures, haven't you? You were a little baby, and you were born. And the doctor came into your mama, and it's what she said. He said, Tina, it's not looking good. Your little girl's got a heart problem. You remember what it was called? Have they told you what it was? It's a big, long name, wasn't it?
Yeah, I can't remember.
I know. The doctor said, doesn't look good. Doesn't look good. Doesn't look good. But her mom and her daddy had family that knew God. They had family that knew God. Come on. I want them to see you're real. I want them to see you're real. And they prayed, and they prayed, and they prayed, and they prayed, and they prayed. And you know what they said, Brianna? They said, oh God, they said, my God, in the name of Jesus, help that little girl, 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 help that little girl. Oh God, in the name of Jesus, help that little girl. Oh God, in the name of Jesus, help that little girl. Oh God, in the name of Jesus, help that little girl. Dear God, help that little girl. All right, Brianna, you ready, baby doll? Did He help you? Sure enough, He helped you. Let's jump up and down. Yeah, He helped you. Raise your arms up high. Does your heart beat? Does your heart beat? Lord God, it does beat. You want me to tell you why, baby? I'll tell you why. Because there's a God in heaven, and He always answers the prayers prayed in the name of Jesus Christ. All right, sit right there with Erica. Sit right there with Erica. All right? I could go row by row, person by person, place by place, and tell you there's one that God healed with cancer. There's one that God gave a baby. There's another one out in the hallway. God gave a baby, didn't have a prayer. God, they said, no, it can't happen. You've got people in here that got saved by the grace of God that mamas and daddies prayed for. You've got people in here that said, no, she'll never make it. She will not come out of the emergency room. And there she sits right there. It's all because of the power of the name of Jesus. And before I go down to my grave, let me say it one more time. I do not care if it offends the Pope or if it offends the President. There's no power in the name of Buddha. There's no power in the name of Allah. There's no power in the name of Muhammad. There is but one name that is above every name, and it's at the name that is above every name, the name of Jesus Christ, the only begotten Son of Father. It's Jesus. We don't bow and worship in the name of Tyler. We don't bow and worship in the name of... What do you do if I die today? I don't have plans, but I could. You come back in next week and realize that Tyler may be dead, but Jesus is still alive. And y'all better weep for a couple of days. It's not about me. There's power in the name of Jesus Christ. When you bow to pray, remember, you bow to pray and you know that God hears you because of Jesus Christ. Not because you ordered your prayer just... It's nothing to do with any of it. It's all about Christ. Man, I could go, Lord, I'm just looking around at all of you. I got situations, people, circumstances. Oh, Lord God, turn us again. What's going to happen in our nation? It's going to get worse. It's going to get worse. And it's going to get worse. Because in the last days, Paul said, evil men shall wax worse and worse. Therefore, it's going to take the people of God that know God and don't have time to play games and have time to monkey around, that are going to say, Jesus, I'm coming before the Father in your holy name, and I'm asking you for so-and-so's heart. I'm asking for such-and-such's life. I'm begging you to touch them. Listen, I've got it right now. My wife told me this morning, it broke my heart. When I was in Bible college, I worked at the City of Greensboro Parts Equipment Services, what they called it. It's in the parts department. I'd run parts. I'd go up to Kernersville, go to the Volvo place, get the parts for the trash truck. That's what I did while I was in Bible college for 2 years. There was a man in Bible college, in the parts department, and I tried to witness to him. Oh, God, I tried to witness to him. I was 18, 19 years old. I don't know. I didn't know how to pray for people. I didn't know how to pray that God bring. But, I mean, I pray. I'd witness. To my knowledge, he never trusted Christ. To my knowledge, he never trusted Christ. My wife was telling me this morning he'd had a massive heart attack the other day. He's got family in our church. I didn't know that. And they took him off life support yesterday. The best of my knowledge, he was never born again. I hope he was. I hope the family tells me he got saved on such and such a date. What I'm trying to tell you, brothers and sisters, is that the world is getting harder and harder and harder. And it's going to take people that don't just know God, don't just know the power of God, but know God personally in the person of Jesus Christ. Now here's the service. Right now, you have got something or somebody. Something or somebody. And what your prayer needs to be is, oh Lord God, Father of my Lord Jesus Christ, I'm begging you to turn them again and cause your face to shine. Notice what he says. Then we shall be saved. At that moment, salvation comes. Oh Lord Jesus, have mercy. I see the tears, brothers and sisters. I know the pain is very real to you. There's no need to deny it, act like you got it all together when the entire world is imploding all around you. When God is able, and He will not deny you in the name of Jesus Christ.